I'll be preaching from the chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke, so keep that open in front of you. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through to 10. Just before this section, there's a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. It's a story about heaven and hell, and then these sayings of Jesus follow after that. And Jesus is, so that's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in heaven and hell are sort of the destination of faith. But now Jesus talks about faith. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about faith. Some people think it's a force, sort of like from Star Wars, you know, sort of the force be with you. You know, faith is something like that. Other people, it's a feeling. Maybe it's a type of feeling inside. Some people, it's very mysterious. Ah, faith. I'd like to start with the illustration of Abraham. So God reaches into the world and says to a bloke named Abraham, and he's there in the middle of Babylon doing his thing, and God says to him, uproot, leave, and head off, and Abraham trusts him and goes. And then a little bit later, God appears and says, look, I'm going to give you, and at this time he's childless, and God says, I'm going to give you many children, many generations. And he trusts God that that'll be the case. And then a little bit later on, he's finally got a son, and God says, be prepared to sacrifice him. And God trusts him. And God prevents it so that Isaac isn't sacrificed. Today, Jesus is debunking three myths about faith. You know that show, Mythbusters? Some of you might not watch television. That's okay. I'll quickly give you a recap. So they take common urban legends or sayings and things like that, and they kind of see whether they're true or not. So, for example, there's the one where if you're walking along the street and somebody drops a coin from a high building and it falls, will it kill you? So will somebody dropping a coin from a high roof kill the person underneath? And they did a test, and there's lots of dropping of objects and mock-ups of people's heads and coins being dropped on them. And it turns out that it would just hurt a lot, according to their tests and experiments. And so they debunk myths. And here today, Jesus debunks three myths about faith. And they're the points in the newsletter of my sermon. The first myth is that faith is passive. The second myth, the more faith you have, the better. And the third myth that Jesus debunks is faith is optional. Faith is passive. The more faith you have, the better. And faith is optional. The first one, faith is passive. This idea that perhaps it's just a sort of a sitting back. And this idea might come from two places. So some of you might be thinking, well, the world is just chaotic. There's just things happen. So there's just random event after random chaotic event. And so you might feel that faith makes no sense at all, does it? If it's just kind of one random thing after another, well, you might as well just kind of sit back. Others of you might think, well, the world is so determined. It's so like a wound up like a clock that really everything is so set and ordered that I might as well just sit back because faith makes no sense. So you might feel that the world is, say, so chaotic that there's no point in having faith. You might as well just sit back. Or the world is so ordered that there's no point in having faith. You might just think, well, I'll just accept what the universe throws at me. And Jesus says to his disciples, gathers his disciples around and says, look, I take sin really seriously. So there in verse 1 and 2 he says, sin is so serious, this rebellion against God is so serious that look, those people that cause other people to sin, like, they need to have a millstone, a big piece of concrete, like the mafia, tied around them and dropped in the ocean. So God really takes sin seriously. And then it's like Jesus is in the stake-raising game. So Jesus doesn't just say something and then kind of back off. He kind of takes it up another notch. So he says, look, if you cause other people to sin, you're going to be with the swim of the fishes. And then he takes it up another notch and he says, if somebody sins, does something to you, and then they repent and they come to you at maybe 9 o'clock in the morning and say, look, it was bad, or whatever the thing was that I did to you, and I'm sorry. Forgive them, says Jesus. And then they do it again and they repent at 11 and 12 and 1 and 3. They repent, forgive them, says Jesus. You see, Jesus takes sin seriously, but then he also takes forgiveness seriously as well. You see, in Ephesians, it expresses this really powerfully. We're to forgive one another, says Jesus, because, I'll read out this verse from Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And we're to forgive one another, says Jesus, because God has forgiven us. And so this myth about faith being either this kind of, oh, I'll just sit back because the world is chaotic, or I'll just sit back because the world is determined. No, says Jesus, I give you responsibility. I give you responsibility, says Jesus, to take sin seriously and to repent and forgive one another. Now, in verse 1, in verse 1, it's addressed to the disciples. And today, here in this room, we have disciples and maybe the crowd as well. So, and when Jesus spoke this 2,000 years ago, there was the disciples, and he brought them in and huddled around and he talked to them. But then around the fringes, around the edges of the crowd, listening in. So some of you today might be thinking, yes, I count myself as a disciple of Jesus. And others of you are thinking, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about faith, but I'm willing to listen, and you're listening in. Well, to the crowd, Jesus says this. He says, it's not chaotic. It's not clockwork determinism. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. And if you're not a disciple, then the question for you is, you have responsibility. Who do you have it to? And if you're a disciple, then perhaps, so if you're today and you call yourself a disciple today here, you love the Lord Jesus, then this is directed at you. How are you using this responsibility to take sin seriously and to forgive others? How are you going with that responsibility that Jesus has given you? So that's myth number one. Faith isn't passive. God gives you a responsibility. Myth number two, the more faith you have, the better. You think of Mother Teresa. You think, wow, lots of faith. Whoa, I mean, she's just got this, how could you have all that faith? Or you think, oh, Abraham, all that faith, or Moses, and these characters from the Old Testament, they have got so much faith and to do those things. And the disciples, it's interesting in verse 5, because Jesus has said this about forgiveness. And all the disciples are thinking of their neighbor, their maybe their wife, their sister, their brother, that guy that hit them on the way when they went into the market. And they're thinking, forgiveness? And Jesus says, yes, yeah, 7 times. If they come back and repent, forgive them. And so they say, we can't do this. Increase our faith. The disciples, look there at verse 5. The disciple says, increase our faith. We need faith like Mother Teresa, say the disciples. And Jesus is shaking his head. No. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then, says Jesus, you could tell that tree to jump into the ocean, and it would. Now, Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created the world and created trees. And so Jesus isn't talking about praying for deforestation here. And neither God is coherent. God is a coherent God. He invented rationality. And so God's not being nonsensical here. He's saying, with the smallest amount of faith, amazing things will happen. And he's also saying it's not the amount of faith you have. It's not like, oh, Mother Teresa, she has so much faith. She's got an oil tanker full of faith. No. It's who you trust. Imagine two people on an aeroplane. And one person, and when you travel in aeroplanes, you might hear the voice of the pilot, but you never see the pilot. And you trust. It's interesting that we trust pilots so that the first person, they're a confident flyer. They have lots of faith in the pilot. This pilot, they don't know them from Adam. This pilot is not drunk. This pilot has flown. They've got their license. I trust this pilot. The other person says, I don't trust the pilot. I remember that news story of the pilot that was kicked off Julia Gillard's plane for being drunk. And I remember that news story, and I don't trust this pilot. In fact, this other flyer, who's shaking and gets on, and I always get a bit nervous when on takeoff and landing. In the middle, I'm fine, but takeoff and landing drives me to prayer. But I can relate to that. I can see, that the second person's on there a little bit shaky. The second person has faith as small as a mustard seed. But it's like, okay, I will trust the pilot. It's not how much faith you have. It's who you put the faith in. So if you're part of the crowd, if you're not a Christian, then an excellent question is Jesus faith worthy? Is Jesus trust worthy? If you are a Christian and you've said, yes, I trust, then do you trust him to return? Do you trust him to fix the big problems of the world? Because Jesus says here, if you pray and amazing things will happen. Do you trust him to fix things in your life? Do you trust Jesus to help you forgive that person? So some of you might have worked through that, others of you. I can think of a person that I've had difficulty forgiving. And just even now, I think, leaving that pause, I know that you're thinking of people that it's really difficult to forgive. And if you're a disciple, you love Jesus, do you trust him to be able to talk to that person? Is this trust expressed in other parts of your life, or have you quarantined it off? And it's like, well, maybe on Sundays I'll trust, but not Mondays or Tuesdays. And do you expect amazing things, like your children or grandchildren becoming Christians, being able to break that besetting sin? And the last myth, the first myth was faith is passive. The second myth, the more faith, the better. And the last myth, faith is optional. Faith is optional. And this is the last one that Jesus debunks in this section. And this is the idea that perhaps God owes us something. Perhaps faith is about, it's kind of like striking a deal with God. So it's like, okay, God, I'll give you some faith if you give me some heaven and maybe some blessings. You kind of like, you strike a bit of a deal, maybe, and faith, or maybe... maybe it's as though you think it's kind of like to God or not to God, and you're there and you're neutral, as if neutrality exists, and you're like, to God or not to God. Faith is optional. I will... No. Look at this example that Jesus gives. Look at this example here. He says, faith is like a servant. It's like a servant who does their job. Verses 7 through to 10. Faith is like a servant who does their job. And look at verse 10. And now Jesus says to the disciples, when you've done everything you've been told to do, shouldn't you say, We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. You see, rebellion is our starting point. We started in the Garden of Eden, obeying God. And then, because faith isn't a triumph of human freedom. Faith is a return to God. Faith is an opportunity to return to God. After Easter, the two Bible studies on Wednesday night and Thursday night, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. The son who goes and leaves and basically gives God the finger, gives his dad the finger and leaves. And it's the story of this son coming home. And that, if you're here today and you're in the crowd, you're on the outside wondering about this faith business, it's not a choice to God or not to God. Faith is coming home. And if you're a Christian and you've thrown in your lot with Jesus, then there's both a sting in the tail of this little story and some balm. The sting of the tail is, if you're a Christian, you've thrown in your lot, that perhaps you've been tempted. Perhaps a little part of you is thinking, oh, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Perhaps I can just have a couple of jewels around the edge, Lord. Just recognize a little bit of this achievement. It's been hard work having faith. Can I have a bit of recognition, please, God? Maybe that's, if you've been a Christian for a long time, that's what you're feeling. No. I am an unworthy servant. Having faith was simply my duty. And lastly, if it's been a burden, if things have been tough and hard, and you think, I've only got a tiny bit of faith, it's been so hard, then it's a relief to say, I'm an unworthy servant, simply obeying you. And they hear these words of encouragement. If obeying and having faith is what you're doing, hear these words of encouragement from Romans, from the reading in Romans. Listen to verse 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Thank you that faith isn't just being passive and that it's not the amount of faith that matters. And thank you that it's simply obeying. And Lord, we are unworthy servants. We throw in our lot with you. We trust you. Please give us the power to be able to repent and forgive. Thank you for sending your son to debunk these myths about faith. In his name, amen.